It's a blessing to hear Manifestation's voice. It's exciting. So thankful. Deuteronomy 28. Wanted to share today on the protection of God. Thinking about this last week. Deuteronomy 28. I found that there are a lot of topics in the Word of God that, you know, you look at for a while, then you don't look at it for a while, then you come back to it, and basically that ends up being your whole life. You just go and revisit topics that you looked at before. You need to, because you forget things, and you know we're like that. And we need to constantly remember in life to not live our lives in any kind of fear at all whatsoever. We know the verses. You know, fear is a snare, freezes you, right? It destroys your confidence and all kinds of things fear does. So we need to constantly remember not to live in any kind of fear whatsoever. And this specifically in the area of God's protection, of where whatever we do, wherever we go. And there are so many promises. And when I was looking at this, I was all the things that God says in his word about how he takes care of and protects his people. And we'll start in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field." And Doug was praying for the farmers. If farmers want real blessings, then a good thing to do is to take heed unto God's word. "Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." Blessed all the time. "The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways." You talk about protection. And all God asks there is just obey my word, obey my commandments. And all these blessings follow. You know, it would be a lot harder to figure out how to get all these blessings than to obey the word of God, wouldn't it? Just to obey him. And God says these blessings follow, including his protection. They're going to come at you one way and leave seven ways. And you can see them running away. Verse 8, "The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand." He blesses everything that you do, all that you set your hand to. "And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people." And again, I know this is specifically to Israel when they were entering, but a lot of these truths we'll see are repeated time and time again in God's word. To all his people, "as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, to heaven, to give the rain in unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them." He makes that point a few times, doesn't he?
Yeah.
If you want all these blessings, just says just obey my word. And we know from the New Testament, his commandments are not grievous, are they? What's the simplicity of the word of God to us to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, on the Lord, and believe that God raised him from the dead? That's not grievous. It's simple. So we just obey his word, and so many blessings follow. We ought to always expect our families, our loved ones, to go to work and to be safe and to be driving safe and flying, whatever you do, you know, there's a lot of room there for fear. And we were just talking about that accident today. You know, I was looking at this last week, but, you know, there's no reason for us to live in fear of any area. And it can creep in. It really can, can't it? You know, you can start thinking about what if this and what if that. And God says, look, just obey me and you'll be blessed wherever you go, whatever you do, wherever you are, whatever you're, I'll be there with you. I'll be taking care of you. 2 Samuel 22. Again, these are truths that are repeated time and time again in God's word. You know. There was only one time in my life that I found I worried a lot. It actually helped. No, actually, that's not true. There was no time in my life that actually worrying about anything or being fearful helped me. I had you going there for a second. 2 Samuel 22. And David spake unto the Lord. This psalm is also in the Psalms, in the book of Psalms. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord God had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, and again, when we read through this section, look at some of the words that are used that refer to God specifically in his capacity to protect his people. There's a lot of them here, and there's a lot all over the word, but this section has so many of them. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. Look at all those words, all very specific to God's protection and defense of his people. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. So he was in a dire state here. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. And God's response to this is literally earth-shattering. Then the earth shook, I told you, and trembled. The foundation of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. God was angry that his David here was in trouble. God got involved right away. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. You can see how much he wanted to be a part of his, to take care of David here. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies to the brightness before him, coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. This is one man praying to God. This is God's response to David praying to him because he needed help. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and just, you know, you get this kind of mind picture in your head about when you're in a situation, what God does for you. Boy, the fear just leaves. Who can stand before God like this? Nobody. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. Wow, what a great section. And you can read the rest of it, and there's a lot of great things in there. But, you know, fortress, deliverer, rock, shield, salvation, high tower, refuge, savior, stay, all words that are in the category of protecting his people and watching over them. In other places, you know, I'm sure you can think of many others. There's my hiding place, wall, shelter, canopy, defense, bearing Israel on eagles' wings out of harm. All these, you know, beautiful words that are used talking about God's protection for his people. We ought to just expect him to take care of us. And I don't just mean if we're so, and we obviously we're going, we look at this in section, but we're careful when we do in life, but we are not going to be 100% able to protect ourselves, are we, ever? So, you know, the arms of God, his everlasting arms are always about us, protecting us. He's our God. Matthew 4. I wanted to look at this. You know, and this protection that we're blessed to have and enjoy, we don't enjoy it and are blessed to have it, and at the same time, are reckless in what we do. That would be foolish. Did Jesus Christ have God's protection? How many records are there of God protecting his son? In Matthew 4, verse 5, the devil taketh him up into this holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So the devil tempted him, you know, you just go ahead and jump, you know, because it says here in Psalms that God will take care of you. You know, and we know Jesus' response. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Did Jesus Christ enjoy God's protection? Absolutely. And yet at the same time, he's not going to tempt him, nor is he going to, you know, test him. But let's go. We're going to read Psalm 91, where that comes from, because that psalm clearly talks about God's protection. The devil knew from where he was quoting. But let's read it. Psalm 91 is wonderful. But again, you'll see, even in this psalm, you know, is as a man or a woman looks to God and trusts him and obeys his word. We don't live recklessly in life. We don't tell our children to live recklessly. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes. And those times, yeah, he protects us and he takes care of us. And we ought to expect that. In Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Wow, there's another beautiful figure. Under his shadow. That's protection. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Those are just beautiful expressions of his protecting care over his people. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Well, why not? God protects us. God doesn't say that there's no terror by night. He just says, don't be afraid of it, because I'm there to protect you. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day. He doesn't say that there aren't things that happen. But he says, don't be afraid of them, because I'm here to protect you. Verse 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. You know, I've heard believers say it to you sometimes, you know, and that's fine. We say, well, you know, you're really lucky you managed to avoid the flu this season. I will never say that to you. Please don't ever say it to me. What we ought to expect is never to get sick. Never, you know, yeah, do we get sick? Yeah, I get sick. Okay, we know that. But what's our expectancy? It's in God. We shouldn't be surprised at his protection. We ought to say, that's the way God meant it to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. And we don't expect to get sick like other people. We don't expect to go there. He even says it. Look, 1,000 shall fall, but it's not going to come near you. Well, how do you protect yourself from that? What is it? What do? You trust God. He says he's our protection. So I'm not going to be afraid of it, nor am I going to be reckless about it. You know, I can go run around with my shorts when it's minus 40 outside because God protects me. Well, yeah. You know, silly, but the outdoor drive 100 to you. Verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because why? All of this because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the most, thy habitation. You live in him. And even better for us today, with, you know, as we heard in the manifestations, the power of God in Christ in us. You want to talk about God's dwelling place, his habitation? We ought to be the most protected and the most blessed and the most expectant of God's protection about us at all times. Verse 10, neither there shall no evil befall thee. No, not only a bit, no evil befall thee. You know, when Israel trusted God, when they were in battle, did they lose anybody? No, God protected them. Neither shall any, where are we? Thank you. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. No plague come nigh your dwelling. You ought to expect that. For he shall give his angels. There's that verse. A little context of a man or a woman dwelling in God and living in God, not tempting him. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. That's where the devil quoted from. Totally out of context. Go ahead, test him, God. Test your God. He'll take care of you. And God says, listen, you just trust me. I'm always there for you. Jesus Christ knew exactly how to respond. I'm not going to tempt my Father. I know he protects me. I'm not going to tempt him. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon, and so on. You can read the rest of it. It's great. Matthew 8. We could look at Malachi, where it talks about tithing and God rebuking the devourer for our sakes. That's another wonderful section you could read. You know, it says that in Malachi, that God rebukes the devourer for your sake. At the same time, it says in Peter, be sober and be vigilant. With the adversary and walketh about as a roaring lion. And, you know, one side it says he's rebuked, and the other side it says be vigilant. Both are important, aren't they? Yeah. You don't live haphazard. You don't live recklessly. He's rebuked. You're protected. God will always protect you. At the same time, you walk circumspectly with God. You have the Spirit of God. You're not reckless. We're not reckless in our lives. Our lives are too important to God to do that. And there's a lot of recklessness out in the world. But in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. You know, you want to talk about somebody who dwelt in God. This more amazing storm, and Jesus Christ was asleep. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, right? There you are, asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. We're going to die. Save us. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You know, it's interesting. There's a few times where Jesus Christ says, oh, you of little faith. And one of them is just about your daily needs. You know, he says that about that. The other time here, he says it, it's when he talks about your protection. Because they woke up and said, we're going to die. He said, why are you afraid? So he calls them little believing. You know, he said, you ought to just expect protection, just like he was expecting. He was just asleep. He knew he'd be okay. He was dwelling in God. We dwell in God. You know, and the adversary, the roaring lion thing, that's the winds and that's the sea and that's all that stuff that he tries to get you, distract you from that quiet habitation you have under the shadow of his wings, that quiet place, that hiding place where you live in God. And Jesus Christ just refused to have the devil take that away from him. And he told him, look, don't little believing. You don't even believe that God's going to protect you or meet your daily needs. He calls that a little believing. That should be just something that you expect. In Ephesians chapter 1, the work of Jesus Christ has raised the bar a great deal in the protection and blessings that we can expect in our lives. And we ought to just expect our families, our loved ones, all just to be protected and blessed and live without fear. Boy, fear is a real horrible thing to live in any area of your life, whether it's in protection or anything else. It's just a horrible way to live life. You know, we ought to be just without fear, be at peace, live, you know, enjoy that it said, and that God said that he would make us his habitation. And that's what he's done through Christ, and we ought to just enjoy that fellowship, enjoy the peace of that, and not live in fear. And Ephesians 1:18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ." Now this is our Lord now. "When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places," or in the heavenlies, "far above," and this is our Lord, "far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." So our Lord here is above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, anything that can be named in this world or the next one. Do you think that affords us any kind of protection? Do you think that your Lord watches out for you? "And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head," to be head, "the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." You know, the body of Christ in this administration is Jesus Christ's responsibility. That's the responsibility God has given to Jesus Christ, to take care of the body, his body. You think he's concerned about making sure you're protected and taken care of? You think he has the authority and power and ability to protect and take care of us? We just read it. Everything, all principality, all power, all might, nothing can come against us that Jesus Christ doesn't have the authority over, the power over, and that he's willing to use to protect his people, the church. Wow, what a great, you know, this, and we read in Psalms, what about Ephesians? Man, this sounds just a little bit even higher and even more wonderful than what David and Israel enjoy, doesn't it? Well, we'll close in Psalm 23. We'll just read this. You know, Jesus Christ led captivity captive and anything that could ever captivate man and did away with it. So we can just enjoy the blessings of being a part of his body. You'll probably quote this one from memory, right? I will read it to close today and just be thankful to enjoy God's protection, his blessing about our lives and our loved ones, and not to live in fear, to be blessed. Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. You know, I shall not want." Shepherd takes care, protects his people. David was a shepherd and used a sling to fight the bear and the lion to protect his sheep, didn't he? So here, God says, "Lord's my shepherd." And we know the truths in the New Testament are even higher and greater than these, but these are wonderful, aren't they? "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters," not rough and tumbling waters, but still waters. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," and that can be bad, "I will fear no evil." I will fear no evil. None of it. Why? "Because I'm so wonderful." No. "I know so much. I've studied God's word so much." Why? One simple reason, for thou art with me. That's what he says. He says in Psalms, I will always be with you, for thou art with me. And Jesus Christ now says, forever I am with you till the end of the age, right? He's with us. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One for sustenance, one for protection. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, that blessing of God. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What great promises, what great blessings, and what protection and blessing and provision for our lives we can enjoy from our wonderful Father. So let's be real thankful for his protection and blessing in our lives, okay?